Well, here we are, more than 50 primaries and caucuses later, more than $1 billion in campaign fundraising later, a few trillion dollars in national wealth later, and someone is probably going to be the next president of the United States by the end of the day. So happy Election Day, everyone. And let me just begin by saying how privileged I feel to have been a part of this process. I hope we have served you well with our 30 Issues in 30 Days election series and all our other coverage. We do work to earn your trust every day, no matter what your politics. And if you're listening right now, maybe we've done okay. So again, I feel extremely privileged to have this opportunity to be some kind of small cog in the wheel of our democracy. And we will be taking your calls and web postings through this historic morning on the following two questions. How did it feel to vote in this historic election, if you have already voted? And are you having a party tonight to watch the returns? You can post your answers right now on our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. How did it feel to vote in this historic election? And are you having a party tonight to watch the returns? WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. As for your calls, we'll be reaching out to different groups of voters this morning, different groups of Obama voters as well as McCain voters this morning. And we'll begin with first-time voters. So first-time voters, you can call us right now at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We'll put you on the air in about 10 minutes. But call and get in line now. I know you just finished being in line to vote, but this will just be 10 minutes. If you have just come of voting age, or if you're an immigrant, a naturalized citizen voting for the first time, or for any other reason voting today for the first time in your life or the first time in this country, call us up right now, 212-433-WNYC, and tell us how you feel. 212-433-9692 for your first-time voter voting experiences. And if you're having a party tonight, to watch the returns, 433-WNYC. And while your calls are coming in, Bo Lipari, executive director for New Yorkers for Verified Voting, is here with a little advice for anyone yet to go to the polls who's afraid you might get disenfranchised for any reason. He's got a great little guide that anyone can use, and we have linked right to it on our page, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show to get there. Hello, Bo Lipari. Welcome back to WNYC. Happy Election Day to you.
Yes, thank you, Brian.
You have four basic tips. Bring identification, know your rights, be prepared to wait in line as long as necessary, and you also provide numbers to call, which we'll read if you have a problem. Now, under Know Your Rights, you say no one may be turned away from the polls without voting. No one?
No one may be turned away from the polls without voting. You may not be allowed to vote on a lever machine or one of the new ballot marking devices if you're not in the poll books, but even in that case, you have a right to vote on what we call an affidavit ballot here in New York State, what everybody else calls a provisional ballot. That's not as good as voting on a lever machine, but nobody can be turned away from the polls without voting.
And if you think your vote is valid and somebody else thinks it's not or isn't sure, you can vote on a provisional ballot and they'll fight it out later.
That's correct. The County Board of Elections or the Consolidated Board of Elections in New York City is obligated to investigate after the fact whether the voter was actually registered, was legally registered or not. And only then will they make the determination to count that ballot if they consider it to be a valid registration. So the counting of the provisional ballot only happens after the fact and only after an investigation, which is why it's really only a second choice, if all else fails, choice.
You say also to bring identification. What kind? Does it depend on what state you're in?
Yes, each state has its own set of identifications that are valid. New York State's got a very broad one, which we adopted back when we were adopting our Help America Vote Act legislation. There's a fairly wide range in New York, any type of government photo ID, passport, driver's license, current bank statements, current utility bills with your name and address, Social Security check or other government check, even your card from the Board of Elections confirming you were registered will be a valid ID in New York.
Always a good idea to bring something like that along, no matter what state you're voting in, especially if you're a first-time voter or you recently moved or changed your registration in any way, or if the voting machine, the type of voting machine or other kind of registration process changed in your state, just bring one of those things. Bring a driver's license. Bring a passport. Bring a something just to be sure. And your third tip, be prepared to wait as long as necessary. And, of course, that's true. But, Bo, you know, the lines themselves can be a form of disenfranchisement. I waited a half hour at 6 o'clock this morning. Luckily, I had the half hour to wait. Many lines are much longer, and not everyone has the time.
That's absolutely true, and it's one of the big problems we're going to see this year, I think, not just in New York State, but around the country, that we are not probably prepared for the kind of capacity that we see when voters really turn out. We've sort of assumed that 50% of registered voters will turn out and no more. We're going to see that change, and most places are under-equipped in terms of equipment to handle sufficient voters. That being said, because we know and expect a big turnout this year, it is important that people be prepared to wait online. But I agree, waiting online is a form of a poll tax when you think about it.
That's right, and that's an issue for the future. Insufficient numbers of voting machines and which neighborhoods are allocated, the shortfalls, and that, of course, was an issue in 2004. Ohio, from what I gather, has actually made a good faith effort to sort that out and is expected to do a lot better this year. We'll see where that flares up this year and needs to be addressed for the future. Last thing, the numbers, the phone numbers for people who have voting problems that you give. The first one is 1-866-OUR-VOTE. Is that a national hotline?
That's a national hotline. However, they are geared to handle state-specific calls. It's set up a nonpartisan line set up by a lot of good government organizations like Common Cause and Verified Voting. Folks will be routed, their calls will be routed to specialists in New York state law. We also have a New York City number, which will probably be best to call in New York City. NYPERG is running it. It's 212-822-0282. NYPERG has a direct line into the New York City Board of Elections, and we believe you'll get a better response time and resolution in New York City by using that NYPERG line.
212-822-0282. But for anyone, no matter where you're listening to us, this is the national number to report voting irregularities, and they'll track you through to the people relevant to your state. 1-866, and of course that's one of the toll-free exchanges, 866-OUR-VOTE. 1-866-OUR-VOTE. Bolipari, before you go, is this the last election for the lovable, clunky old lever machines in New York State?
Well, it was supposed to be, but the answer now is probably not. Once again, the machines that are supposed to replace it have had an impossible time passing the very high standards in New York State, and the testing agency has just been decertified. So once again, we've stopped testing new machines. I think we'll be voting in 2009 on levers one more time and possibly even 2010.
Bo Lipari, Executive Director of New Yorkers for Verified Voting. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
And from New York and the lovable old clunky lever machines, we go to New Jersey, which has some troublesome new technology, and where WNYC's Bob Henley is covering the vote and the hot congressional races. Hiya, Bob.
Good morning.
Now, do I have this right? New Jersey currently has 6 members of the House of Representatives, 3 Democrats and 3 Republicans, but all the Republican seats are at risk?
Well, what we have here is 2 open seats, and that just is very unusual. Congress is a very comfortable place to be. So to have 2 seats out of 13 where the incumbent's not running and both of them are Republicans creates a generational opportunity for Democrats.
And how's it going?
Well, I'm down here in the 3rd District, which is Ocean, Burlington, and part of Camden. And that's where Congressman Saxton was here for some 24 years. He's a Republican, conservative, on foreign policy issues, very much in line with the Fort Dix vibe of this place, but very green on environmental issues. And he often would get tens of thousands of more votes than the Republican presidential candidate being, you know. So now we have John Adler, a Democrat state senator, early on supporter of Barack Obama. And then we have Republican Chris Myers, mayor of Medford. And this, where I'm at, Burlington County, is the battleground. And the level of enthusiasm on the street is, you know, really unparalleled to anything I've seen in 20 years of doing this. And there were lines at the polling place, and it's hotly contested.
Now, just to correct the numbers I was giving before, there are 13 members of the House from the state of New Jersey. The current split is 7 for Democrats and
right.
6 for the GOP. What do you think it'll look like after today?
Well, I think that you have a very good shot that it could be, you know, 9 Democrats and 4 Republicans. Up in the 7th district, which is where Congressman Ferguson is retiring, he is a Republican at the age of 39. He's retiring because he had a tough race with Linda Stender, an Assemblywoman Democrat, who almost beat him by, you know, came within a few thousand votes. He retired, left that seat open. Now State Senator Leonard Lance, a Republican who is part of the Whitman wing, if you will. He's pro-choice, very green, endorsed by the New York Times, giving Stender a hard time. She's got more money, and she figures that she is going to benefit from the upsurge that has happened across the state. Some 500,000 freshly minted Democratic voters, which were a windfall, if you will, of that marathon primary between Senators Obama and Clinton.
You were saying off the air, Bob, that New Jersey is at a generational crossroads. What do you mean?
Well, whenever you have 2 of the 13 incumbents standing down, and then you have this major increase in voter turnout, and young people at the polls, I mean, that's the thing I've just seen being out this morning. And yet that's a mixed bag. There was a proud first-time voter, 21-year-old young lady, who said, well, I came out and voted for Obama. And I said, what about the rest of the ballot, down ballot? She was like, well, I couldn't vote for any of them. I didn't know who they were. So It's not a guarantee slam dunk for the Democrats. And, you know, people do really have the potential here in New Jersey to go back and forth. Each one of these races has to be considered in their own right. That being said, an important grassroots organization can help identify voters and help the down ballot candidates.
Any confrontations, flare-ups, potential lawsuits, or recounts shaping up yet in the state?
No, I did. I was in the company of a monitor from the ACLU, which has a presence throughout New Jersey. A local officer came out and pushed her back, not physically, but said you need to be 100 feet away. She engaged in colloquy with him, saying he didn't understand the law. I was recording the whole thing. And then he went back into his squad car and I guess got some greater guidance and then let her go back to where she was standing so she could do her job effectively, just asking people how they found the voting experience, which is really important that this get documented, because these incidents, you know, people, the whole provisional ballot question, the things you were dealing with earlier, it's really essential that if mistakes are made, that they're documented so that we can learn for the future.
WNYC's Bob Henley reporting from southern New Jersey. Bob, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Up next, we will take some phone calls from first-time voters, check in with the swing state of Pennsylvania, and much more. First-time voters, we're going to take your calls at 212-433-WNYC. Our lines are full, but when people finish up, it's 433-9692. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Happy Election Day, everybody. Our election night coverage begins at 7 o'clock tonight as the polls close in Virginia, Indiana, and Georgia. I will be here with Andrea Bernstein, Amy Eddings, and the whole NPR election unit. And you can blog the coverage along with us at WNYC.org. We'll have a special group blog set up for Andrea and me and Amy and John and Adora from The Takeaway and others here at WNYC and you in a big group blog watching the election returns that we'll all be doing together. Our coverage starts at 7 o'clock tonight here on WNYC. Well, now to some calls from first-time voters. We'll take calls from other groups of voters later, But we'll start with Rudy in Randolph, New Jersey. Rudy, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. My name is Smriti. Smriti from Randolph, New Jersey, and I'm a first-time citizen.
Congratulations. When were you naturalized?
2005.
And you didn't vote in 2006 or 2007 in anything local, so this is your first time?
Yes, it is.
How did it feel?
Wonderful. It was very good. I've been listening to both sides for so long, and I'm very happy and proud that I did what my part was.
Were you undecided until late in the game?
No, not late in the game. I knew since the Democratic Clinton and Obama started debating, I was watching it since then, and that's when I had decided.
What was it like to vote? Were the lines long? Were people excited, talking to each other? What was it like in Randolph?
The lines were not very long because I was there at 6:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Everything went off very smoothly. It was very well arranged, and people were talking to each other. And I don't know how the lines are now, but in the morning I was there right away because I thought maybe the line might be too long later.
Ruti, congratulations on your first vote, and thanks for calling us.
Okay, thank you.
John in Ossining, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So why was this your first time voting?
Well, I was actually registered in 2006, but I go to school outside my congressional district.
Uh-huh.
So I wasn't able to get back to vote for those elections, but I made sure I was back for this one.
And what was it like?
It was great. It was really fantastic. It was the first time I had ever seen a line outside my polling place. I'd lived just up the street from my polling place my entire life, and it's fantastic.
And how did you feel about voting today?
Just very excited. I mean, I knew who I was going to vote for after I saw Barack in the Iowa speech, and it just is really fantastic today.
John, thanks a lot. Anna in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Anna.
Hello, how are you?
Good. So why was this your first time voting?
I became a citizen in 2006.
Congratulations.
Where'd
Thank you, come here from?
Honduras.
Uh-huh. And how did it feel?
It is one of the best feelings I've ever had in a very, very long time.
Can you describe it?
It was part emotional. It was in part also I had my son with me, so he is actually going to be part of history. So it was something, you know, also educational for him.
Was it confusing at all, or did it seem pretty straightforward and simple?
Straightforward, simple, very organized.
Good. Congratulations on your first vote.
Thank you so much.
Richard in Somerset, you're on WNYC. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Why was this your first vote?
I just turned a citizen. I was naturally born from Ghana, West Africa.
Congratulations on being naturalized.
Thank you.
And what did it feel like to vote?
It was great. You know, it was my whole family. My mom couldn't even sleep. These guys can't even go to sleep. And when I went over there this morning, we thought we were going to be the first people on the line. But I was there probably by 5:30 this morning.
Wow.
And they had people like all over the place, all across the building, all the way around. And then there was a lot. I have never seen a lot of black people get up early this morning to vote.
How come your mother was so excited that she couldn't sleep?
I think maybe because of Obama, I think. Because it was amazing. All my little sisters, all of them, got up 5 a.m. This morning, just waking me up, like screaming. And I work for UPS. I'm a driver. And I couldn't sleep. Like, you know, they were driving me crazy.
And where are you going to watch the returns tonight?
Well, I have one of these Verizon TV phones with me, so...
Oh, you're going to be working tonight?
Yeah.
But you have a TV phone?
Yeah, I have a TV phone.
Now, that's how you know you're really an American.
Thank you, Rick.
Richard, thanks a lot. Congratulations on your first vote. Laura in Levittown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Laura.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So why is this your first time voting?
Well, I'm 21, and I was 17 and a half during the first election, and it killed me.
Oh, during the 2004 election.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you just so wanted to get Bush out of office, didn't you?
It was torturous. So, to be sitting there going, why aren't you voting? Because I can't, and I really want to.
So after 4 years of pent-up desire, what was it like?
I actually voted 2 weeks ago. I'm in college at Hofstra, and I'm from New Hampshire, so I voted by absentee ballot, and it's just been more impatience because I already voted, so I want that vote to be counted, and I want to see where this takes us.
And where are you going to be to watch the returns tonight? You going to a party?
I am having a couple of friends over, and we're going to watch it at the house that I'm renting, and it'll be fun.
Congratulations on your first vote.
Thank you.
May there be many more. Tina in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. It's my first time voting today, but I have been in this country for many years. Became a citizen in the bicentennial year,
1976.
Yes.
And you've never voted?
No.
How come?
Oh, I think it was because I've always felt it was just too far out of my reach, the whole process.
Really? Meaning to kind of figure out who to vote for?
Yeah,
or?
It was just something that I've always felt that it's just, as I said, too far away from me.
Uh-huh. And today that changed?
Well, not just today, but I've been listening to this process for a few weeks now. And I was undecided because there was something to be said for both sides. However, I think because I see an overwhelming change coming in this whole in everything, and also it incorporates not just this country anymore. And I just feel that even if the party I voted for does not get in, the fact is it has started. The change has started. And it's the future is not going to be ever the same as what I've known it.
Tina, thank you very much.
And I just want to give a shout out for the seniors in the in these voting places. They're doing a very good job.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Maya in the Bronx, in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Maya.
Yes. Hi, Brian.
Why is this your first vote?
I just became a citizen in May of this year. I'm originally from Bulgaria.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And what was it like?
It's very exciting. I'm actually on my way to the polls right now, and I have to tell you, it feels to me the same way it felt in 1989 in Bulgaria when we had the first free election and I had the chance to cast my vote finally against the communists. And today I have again that feeling that after 8 years of reactionary politics, I have a chance again to vote for change, and I'm very, very happy.
So will you be watching the party with watching the returns in a party with friends or anything like that?
I'll be with my family. My parents are here visiting from Bulgaria. They're also very excited. And, you know, I'll be watching, obviously, the news.
That's some comparison with 1989. I mean, when the communist era ended, when the Soviet bloc collapsed, you really feel it's as emotional as that to see the Bush administration go?
I really do. I really do, Brian. I've been living in this country for 12 years. I've never had a chance to vote, and I've been just silently and watching what's going on, and have, you know, I just have a lot of anger, you know, in terms of all these policies, economic policies, social policies that are anti-democratic. And I just really very strongly feel that we need a lot of change in this country.
Congratulations on your first vote in America, Maya. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And thanks to all of you for calling in with your first ever votes. Now, the next group of voters who are going to invite in are African American voters. If you are Black or African-American or however you self-identify in that category, we want to hear from you next. How did it feel to vote in this historic election? And are you having a party tonight to watch the returns? We heard from first-time voters. This election is special for obvious reasons to many Black Americans. So call us and talk about how it felt to vote this year, today, and Are you having a party tonight to watch the returns? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And, of course, anyone may post to our comments page all morning long. How did it feel for you to vote today? And are you having a party tonight to watch the returns? Go to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Another voting machine closes. Well, that last caller from Bulgaria may be interested in our next guest as your calls come in, Eva Kern Jendrahovska. She is a reporter for Feet in Two Worlds, the WNYC and New School Immigrant Reporting Project, and also a reporter for the Polish Daily News. Hi, Eva. How you doing? Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Ryan. How are you? Nice to be back.
And you're covering a polling place?
Well, I'm in Greenpoint, which is predominantly Polish neighborhood in Brooklyn, and I'm just outside PS 34 on Norman Avenue in the heart of Greenpoint.
How's it going?
Well, the line is quite long. I would say at any given time there's around 300 people waiting, and it takes around 1 hour to cast the vote. And people who have been living here in this neighborhood for a long time, they say they've never seen anything like this before, because it used to take 5 to 10 minutes to cast the vote, and well, that's not the case today.
I guess not. Did you hear the caller naturalized from Bulgaria?
Yes, I did.
Do you think a lot of immigrants from Poland feel the same way, or is that an unusual feeling for people from Eastern Europe?
I didn't hear really such dramatic comparisons from Polish immigrants that came here to vote. But what I want to say is that usually Polish immigrants are not very involved in American politics. They are very focused on Polish politics. They discuss Polish politics all the time. They even go to vote in Polish consulates, but they are very withdrawn from American politics. They're not really involved. And this time we see so much excitement in our community. You can go to, you know, beauty salon and you're going to hear people discussing politics. So definitely this election is very important for people and it's, stirring a lot of emotions.
And how do you think the recent Polish immigrant community is voting in this election? Because certainly during the Iraq War, Poland was one of the countries that had the reputation of being the most pro-American, the most pro-war, the most pro-Bush, largely because of the legacy of communism and revolting against that.
Well, I have an impression that it has changed. And actually, in Poland, there was a poll just done a couple of weeks ago, and 38% would go for Obama if they, of course, could cast a vote in America. And I believe 13 was for McCain, and the rest was undecided. So that has obviously changed. And among voters that I spoke to here today, I'm going to say that they are pretty much evenly divided. Some would see Obama as a factor of change, and they think that, you know, they belong to middle class and he's going to represent them better. And then others think that McCain is more experienced and they trust him more, and they know him for much longer.
All right. Eva Kern Jendrahovska from Feet in Two Worlds and the Polish Daily News. I should mention that you have a Twitter feed, so if people want to sign up to follow the whole Feet in Two Worlds group, it's twitter.com/FI2W, right?
That's right.
FI2W, after twitter.com/FI2W, or their website, feetintoworlds.wordpress.com. Eva, always great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
From our website, comment 45, Lee and Teaneck. Yes, I am having a party tonight, a Tex-Mex extravaganza, to celebrate the return of George W. Bush to his ranch in Crawford, the one certain outcome of this election. I am serving gazpacho soup, two kinds of chili, and cornbread. Ah, it's Tex-Mex. The guests are a group of friends who I've been getting together on election night with for 30 years. We rotate the event from house to house, and happily for me, it is at my home this year, writes Lee in Teaneck. Post your voting experiences to our webpage. How did it feel to vote? And are you having a party tonight? Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Also, we're checking in with swing states throughout the morning, and up with us The first swing state we're checking in with, Elizabeth Fiedler, a reporter for WHYY Public Radio in Philadelphia. Elizabeth, thanks for coming on WNYC with us. Hello.
Hi, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Where are you right now?
Right now I'm on Cecil B. Moore Avenue in Philadelphia. This is in North Philadelphia, predominantly African-American neighborhood, pretty close to Temple University. I am standing outside of a polling place, a small church, the New Life Church here. I've been to this church a number of times in past elections, checking in with the judge of elections, and she said when she came this morning to get ready to open up the polls at 6:30, there was already a line of about 30 people, and she's been doing this for decades and decades and decades, and she said she was so impressed by the turnout. She was clearly emotional when talking about the significance of this election in this community.
Talk about the emotion that you're seeing there.
So I talked to a lot of, I talked to a bunch of voters coming out of this polling place and some others around in this neighborhood in North Philadelphia. A lot of people said that they thought this election was important because of Barack Obama's race, and a lot of people said that they thought this election was important because Barack Obama is different from George Bush. A lot of people really stressed to me the fact that they're not voting for Senator Obama because of his race, but because they believe he really will help them get jobs. This is an area, obviously, the economy is a big issue for a lot of people, and particularly here in North Philadelphia. I talked to a lot of folks here who have been out of work for months, some for more than a year, who say the economy is just so bad right now. They don't know how they're going to put food on the table. They don't think their children are getting a very good education here at inner city schools, and they really believe that Senator Obama can improve their lives here in North Philadelphia. So it's pretty pretty powerful stuff. A lot of people, also some older voters I spoke with, who've come out, even though they are not in very good health, talking about how they never in their lives thought this day would come.
Any signs of irregularities there? Trouble voting, anything like that?
No signs here in North Philadelphia, certainly none that I've seen and none that I've heard about up here. There has been some discussion, as far as I know, there are unsubstantiated reports about some people, poll workers who were asked to leave the polls or something to that effect. This is something that Senator McCain's campaign has been talking about a little bit this morning, trying to exactly flesh out what happened there. But their statement is that these folks were asked to leave because of their support for Senator McCain. We have no idea if that's true, obviously, on Election Day. Just kind of, you know, keep trying to stay up to date on the news reports, and hopefully we will find out soon what's happening there. Nothing other than that. There have been some troubles with the actual voting machine, some of them not working, things like that, very long lines. But no really, really big issues, just sort of large voter turnout here and a lot of new voters a little confused about where they should go, maybe.
Last thing, Elizabeth, everybody's been focusing so much on Pennsylvania because it's a swing state in the presidential race. Any hot congressional races there that you're following that could help tip the balance in Congress?
We do have a couple of hot congressional races here. We have out in the suburbs, we have the 6th, the 7th, and the 8th. The 6th is a gentleman named Congressman Jim Gerlach, who has been, in past elections, they tried to tie him to the Republican National Party, and he insists that he votes independently and happily gives the list of all the things he's opposed George Bush on. So we'll see. We'll see if he's able to. He's had a lot of tight elections. We'll see if he's able to squeak it out this year again.
Elizabeth Fiedler, news reporter for WHYI, Public Radio in Philadelphia. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
From our webpage, comment 56. I was online in Bay Ridge this morning at 5:50 a.m., writes Jody from Bay Ridge. A British friend woke me up with a text at 5 o'clock saying they would be staying up all night to watch the results. This is truly a global event. I beat some of the poll workers there. There were about 35 to 50 people waiting when the doors opened at about 6:05. It was so exciting to see people of all ages and different races gathering in the darkness. There was a woman with her young son waiting in front of us, and he was asking about what voting was. As she answered him, I felt excited and more American than I felt in years. The doors opened at 6:05, and we all flooded the hallway. We are having a party tonight to watch the returns. We have a case of champagne waiting to either celebrate or drown our sorrows. I was thinking people could either have champagne ready to go, and in the other drawer, whiskey ready to go, depending on how the results suit you. This is the first election party I have ever attended, writes Jody from Bay Ridge. Brian Lehrer on WNYC will get back to your phone calls in a minute on Election Day 2008. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, as we continue to collect your voting experience, how it feels to vote today, and are you attending a returns watching party tonight? Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show to post number 14, Lloyd, Manhattan. 5 seconds to vote. I voted PS 116 on East 33rd Street. There was a line of people waiting to find out which election district they were in. But since I already knew, I waltzed right up to my voting machine. It's a small district and there was no one waiting. It took the poll worker 5 seconds to find my name and I voted right away. The takeaway, writes Lloyd from Manhattan, know your assembly district and election district numbers before you go to the polls. All right, so we invited African-American or other black voters to call in to talk about your experiences voting today because, for obvious reasons, this is such a historic vote to be a historic year to be black and to vote in the United States. So let's take some of those calls coming in. Ed in West Orange, you're on WNYC. Hey,
Hi,
Ed.
How are you?
Okay. How about you?
Doing fine, thanks. I woke up this morning at maybe 5 o'clock, 5:30. And I was on the computer doing email stuff, and then I realized like it was 5:30, so I jumped up, got my clothes on, went down to my polling place, and even though I got there at 10 of 6, there were already people lined up, and there was even some guy there with his son who must have been 2 or 3 years old, still in his pajamas, you know. So, but, you know, I started talking in the line with some of the people there, just to carry on conversation. Turned out that some of those people were my neighbors I'd never met before, even though I lived in this neighborhood for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Said hello to them, engaged them in conversation. But, you know, and then I went to vote. Afterwards, I went to a local restaurant, Panera, just to get a cup of coffee. And there was, well, listen, there was a white woman who was, you know, just got her things. I said hello to her. We sat down and started talking about the election. Listen, it was really very refreshing because we were able to have this dialogue about race. But after that, I mean, it was sort of a side thing because then we could talk about the election, the Clintons, how Bill Clinton was. I mean, and, you know, what our expectations are. And also it was the thought that, you know, Barack Obama, you know, we're not just looking for the same old stuff. You know, all these Democrats get in and then it's going to be the Democrats, you know, overwhelm the Republicans. We're really looking to go forward. Listen, we're both going to pay some more in taxes, but that's okay too. So it was really refreshing to have this conversation with someone of another race spontaneously.
Here we are, two human beings on the planet,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
And it's, you know, and it's a reason to preserve the voting experience in person if we can. I mean, there may be reasons also to go to more mail-in ballots, computerized voting from your home PC once they get the technology, you know, fail-safe. But that experience of voting in a community, of being on the line, of talking to people, it's so valuable in our democracy, isn't
it? Yeah. Well, her thought was that, you know, all this work that Obama has done, it doesn't end after the election is over.
No.
You know, how do we keep going forward as a community? Because
right. More
people have gotten up. Listen, this got me up and got me involved. On my vacation, I went down to South Carolina.
Uh-huh.
So I'm older. I'm in my 50s. And I went down there just because of my vacation. There were these young kids who are running this election. They had me on the phone. They had me going from door to door. But you know what? You know, listen, I'm a person of Woodstock. I went to Woodstock when I was 19. And I'm not saying this is back in the 60s, but it was refreshing to have that involvement for me.
Ed, I'm going to get some other folks on. Thanks a lot for calling.
Bye-bye.
Congratulations on voting today. Roslyn in Ossining, you're on WNYC. Hi, Roslyn.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What was it like for you to vote today?
It was wonderful. I got up very early in the morning. It was still dark outside. I went to my polling place. And I thought I would be, like, among the first people there. The line was up the stairs and around the corner, and the gym itself was full. But it was a very quick experience. We went in. There were black, white, and the most beautiful thing was people brought their children, and they took them in with them when they voted. It was just it was very emotional.
Rosalind, thank you very much. And Dauphin, am I saying your name right?
Yes,
Stuyvesant
you are,
and
thank you for having me.
Hi, thank you. So what was it like to vote today?
I was very emotional. Today was my first time in my life. I'm 42 years old. The first time in my life I voted. I just became citizen 6 months ago, and I was very excited to vote today.
Do you have the excitement not only for policy reasons, not only because Obama is a black man, but also because you're an immigrant and his family was from immigrants?
I'm from Africa, and my wife is I'm black and Muslim. My wife is white and Jewish, and we have two kids. And quite frankly, my main reason, I mean, I voted for Obama because I love him and I like his policy, but I voted mainly for my kids because I think they're going to be the next Obama in the future, and I don't want their religion or their race to be an issue, you know, in the future for them.
Congratulations on your vote. Thank you. And Elise in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Elise.
Hi. Good morning, Brian.
How'd it feel to vote today?
It was awesome. It was just... I never thought that I would be able to vote for a black president in my lifetime. Unfortunately, I'm still relatively young, but just to be there and to pull that lever, my only regret is that I wish I'd brought my kids with me. I went to my polling place 10 of 6, and because they don't have school today, I thought, I left them sleeping, but I kind of wish I had brought them with me. But they have on their Obama T-shirts today. They're representing for Obama today. My four-year-old is very excited about Barack Obama. So,
and are you going to have a party or anything tonight?
You know, Brian, even though I'm excited, I'm really scared about tonight. And I'm just hoping that we find out who the winner is tonight and not have it dragged out for the next couple of days or even weeks. I don't think I can take that.
So you feel like this one person who left us a message, Denise from Connecticut, wrote, "I'm having an election gathering, too nervous to call it a party."
Elise, I agree with Denise.
Elise, thanks a lot. Suzanne in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Brian.
How'd it feel to vote today?
I have to tell you, I could bring myself to tears thinking about casting my vote today. But when it came to actually pulling the levers, it was a little anticlimactic. And I think the moment I'm really looking forward to and I'm hoping for is when Obama reaches 270 electoral votes, and my voice becomes one of many. And I have the sense that, yes, my individual vote counts, but look how many people are making this choice.
And then the hard part starts.
Exactly. And I have to agree with the previous caller who said, you know, all the energy that's gone into this campaign, or both campaigns, really has to continue in some shape or form.
Suzanne, thanks a lot for your call. Thanks to all of you who called. We'll have another call in a little while, specifically for McCain voters. And we know in our area you are obviously in the minority, but you've got your beliefs too. So we're going to have a call in for McCain voters coming up in a little while. You don't have to call yet because we don't want you to have to sit on hold through the news. But when we're ready for it, we're going to be inviting McCain voters in next to ask you how it felt to vote today and whether you're going to gather with friends or family to watch the returns tonight. In the meantime, we're checking in with swing states through the morning. And up next, we have Fred Eccles, who is the local All Things Considered host at WVTF Virginia Public Radio. Hi, Fred. Welcome to WNYC. Hello from New York.
Good morning. I'm happy to be with you today.
And where in Virginia are you?
Well, actually, I am in North Carolina. I'm just across the state line in North Carolina right now, but I've spoken with some people at polling places in Virginia this morning, and they all have reported long lines and lots of activity.
Any signs of irregularities, voting problems, anything like that?
There have been some sporadic reports, and most of the ones that I've heard have been from northern Virginia in the D.C. suburbs. Some reports of voting machines breaking down and people having to wait what they consider too long to vote. But there have only been a few of those. Of course, it's early in the day, and we'll see how that develops. But so far, there haven't been any reports of widespread problems.
And what is the latest polling show, as far as you know? Virginia is supposed to be the swing state of swing states this year.
Well, the latest polls, the ones that have been posted today, show Barack Obama with leads of 2 points and 4 points, as I recall. Both those, of course, are within the margin of error of both those polls. So statistically, you know, it's a flip of the coin at this point.
Now, when we do our election returns coverage tonight, starting at 7 o'clock on WNYC, one of the reasons we're starting so early is because the polls close in Virginia at 7 o'clock. But what will happen, Fred, if there are long lines still at 7 o'clock? Does the law in Virginia require that the voting go on? Does the law give the governor discretion to extend the voting hours till 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock? What would happen?
What will happen actually was decided yesterday by a federal judge in Richmond. A lawsuit had been filed on behalf of the NAACP claiming that there were precincts where there were not enough voting machines and the state wasn't prepared, according at least in the opinion of the NAACP. A federal judge in Richmond ruled yesterday that he would not order any changes, that he thought the State Board of Elections had shown that it was prepared. But he did stipulate this: at 7 o'clock tonight, when the polls close, anyone who is in line at 7 o'clock, no matter how long the line is, will be able to vote. So at 7 o'clock, if you're in line, the polls will stay open until you can vote.
What was the argument against that position?
There wasn't particularly an argument against that position. The judge simply felt that even though he was ruling against the lawsuit, he wanted to make certain that it was in the record that that would not be a discretionary point for the people running the polling places. He wanted to make certain that it was clear that everyone in line would have to vote. It wasn't that anybody was arguing against it. It's just that he wanted to take that step to be certain it was very clear that that's the way it had to work.
All right. Fred Eccles for Virginia Public Radio. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Now, let me take a phone call from Kavita in New Jersey, who is not a citizen of the United States and so cannot vote, but I think has something very interesting to say. Kavita, are you still there?
I am.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. So you're from Kenya?
I am, yes.
And not a citizen, so not voting, but?
No. But extremely upset. I'm sitting here listening to the radio because I'm too afraid to watch the TV. I feel like I'm going to jinx things if I watch. So I'm only allowing myself to listen. And I'm sitting here in tears because I really want to vote. Not just because Barack Obama's Kenyan, but because he's black. I never thought, you know, this would happen in America. It's a big day.
Is it a big day in Kenya?
It is. I was speaking to my father this morning. The Kenyan government has declared that if Barack Obama wins, tomorrow is a national holiday in Kenya. So, you know, this is important for people, not just in America.
Wait, if Obama wins here today, it's a national holiday tomorrow in Kenya?
It is, yes.
What would they do?
They would, well, nobody would go to work. It's, you know, they have a few national holidays to mark independence, to mark Jomo Kenyatta, you know, Kenyatta Day, so on. So they have declared that if Barack Obama wins, tomorrow is a national holiday. And my guess is that it will be a national holiday, you know, from now on. It'll be something like Obama Day or something.
Wow. Kavita, thank you very much. We'll have to check in to Kenya if that comes about tonight and see what that's really like. Thank you very much. WNYC's Marianne McCune has been out at polling stations in the Bronx. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, I've been in Manhattan and the Bronx.
Okay.
All over.
Where are you now?
I'm at Hostos Community College at a polling site just sort of between the concourse and Mott Haven in the Bronx.
And how's it going?
It's on the quiet side here now, but people here, like everywhere else, the poll workers are saying it was very, very busy this morning. Here particularly, they said there are a lot of new citizens, and one poll worker was telling me that during the primary, they got a lot of people coming in who weren't registered yet and were saying, how can I register in time to vote in the general election? So they have a lot of new voters just standing here for a few minutes. There were at least three brand new voters, some because they were young, some because they were new citizens, and there's just a lot of excitement in New York City today.
Now, the first-time voters, because they're immigrants, in the location where you are, did they tend to be from one place? Immigrants from one country?
I would say there are a lot of Spanish-speaking immigrants in this neighborhood. Dominicans. I haven't been here long enough to say all the places that they're from. But,
right. But we've been hearing the outpouring of emotion in the voices of immigrants from Africa and African-Americans born here. Are you getting a sense of that from the Spanish-speaking country immigrants who you're talking to?
Absolutely. I mean, not just today, but I've been reporting in those communities, both African immigrants and I just recently did a story on Hispanic immigrants who I was in actually Reading, Pennsylvania, talking to Hispanics, and they were saying, you know, I mean, there was just a huge amount of enthusiasm, and one of the things I was looking into is whether there was going to be this, you know, Bradley effect type thing, for lack of a better term, among Hispanics, and a lot of people are saying that's just not really an issue at this point.
That's good to hear. WNYC's Marianne McCune at Hostos Community College in the Bronx, thank you very much.
Thanks.
And keep posting to our webpage, folks. What was the voting experience like for you? How did it feel to vote today? And are you having a returns watching party tonight? Post 92, Julie from Williamsburg writes, I've lived in this district for 7 years and have always seen a decent turnout. Last time it was exciting and people were optimistic. This year it was serious. I am nervous for the outcome of this election like I've never been nervous before. Fingers crossed, writes Julie from Williamsburg. And our coverage continues. Brian Lehrer on WNYC for another hour here on Election Day 2008.